getting women on the board several years back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You two women came on.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're down to one again.
Mm-hmm. I don't try to stick my spoon in that kind of a pot and stir it up, because I know it usually rolls around by itself anyway. That's it. You'll say, why don't we have better people? So I won't get them to apply.
And that really was a problem before. And we looked at, you know.
Go ahead. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Moral Bay Public Works Advisory Board meeting for July. It is July 20th. We're here at the Vets Hall Live. I'd like to let it be known members John Lemons and Brad Valoy are not with us this evening, and all others are present. And let's start with the Pledge of Allegiance. Bob, would you like to lead us in the pledge? All right. Right over here.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay. Are there any problems with the agenda? Is everything, everybody copacetic with the order on things? We're fine. Can you get a quick motion to approve? Accept the agenda? Any second? Second? The second by Bob. And I don't think there's anybody going to say no. So it's a great point to get your, great time to get your 3 minutes in if you'd like to. Since we have none, we're going to move on to consent calendar. This is, excuse me? I'm sorry. We have one of our crew here that would like to speak, and I'm being rude and neglecting Paul. Paul, you want to state your name and let us know where your address in Morro Bay, please?
Yes. Good evening, Commissioners. Paul Tweed, Morro Bay resident. Just wanted to wish everybody a happy Space Day, July 20th. On this day in 1969, Neil Armstrong stepped onto the moon, and also like to wish the shuttle a safe and successful return to flight. That's about it. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. I'm going to comment on that, even though I'm not supposed to. That's a piece of history that I forgot the date on, and any of us that were here, I think everybody on this board, it's amazing the kind of distance we can go in a few short years. So thank you for that, Paul. Okay, on to the next is consent calendar. These are the minutes from our last meeting, which was not June, but was May 18th. Everybody have time to look over the minutes?
Yes, I have a... In addition, I think would be important to have in the written record, and that's under the city attorney's presentation on the Brown Act, after the sentence that's there, follow it with, Mr. Schultz noted that the executive committee meetings may have to be noticed to the public. He will study the matter further and notify the board of his conclusions. That's my suggested addition to revise, because that I thought was an important point that we have hanging out there.
Definitely so. Kathy, were you able to get that okay?
Well, it has, if it's acceptable
Thank
to
you.
Everyone.
Is there any comments on that, or would somebody like to make a motion to accept the agenda as corrected by Mr. Dorfman? Dr. Dorfman, excuse me. Well, I'll make a motion to accept the minutes as amended by Dr. Dorfman. Is there a second? A second by Mr. Coyle. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you for that, and thanks for the written. I'm sure that helps staff get our... get our things underway. Well, it's a little hard to write verbatim quickly. Okay, we are on to quick moving agenda. We like that.
And good evening, Madam Chair, members of the board. I'll skim down through the director's report. Some of the stuff, as you know, Bill usually puts on a pretty good show. He's a wealth of information, but I'll do my best. A lot of the stuff is no reportable action. As you know, we had no meeting in June. So I hope everybody had a nice little vacation. The first thing I was going to bring to your attention, the rock sculpture at the entryway into Morro Bay at Quintana and Morro Bay Boulevard. It is in. It is still standing. It is yet to be sculptured, I should say. The artists do plan on coming out over the next few weeks, I believe, and doing some chipping and sculpturing. And they've got to finish up the foundation to stabilize it and eventually connect water hoses and filtration systems and all that stuff to it. So there's yet to be done, but at least it's in. You have an idea of how big it is, how it sits in configuration to the stop signs there at that intersection. Hopefully, you know, you might take a chance to drive by and see how you feel about it. I've only gotten one inquiry as to concerns for sight distance, but you know, I think after talking to the particular gentleman, he seemed to be resolved and went away. So, other than that, I haven't heard anything.
Very good.
It's like a nice rock.
It's a big, tall rock.
It's basically for the public. They've installed the rock there. They're making it permanent, securing the footing for it so it's stable, and the artists are going to come out and chisel something and sculpt us something wonderfully beautiful.
I think they're going to play with the top of it so that the water, you know, oozing out on the top kind of runs down the face, you know, facing the traffic they're on, you know, basically the off-ramps and on-ramps leading into the city. So hopefully when it's all done, we can ooh and ah.
Excellent.
Let's see. I don't have a lot of information on the joint powers agreement. I know they have met. They've they're solidifying this 9.5-year timeline to bring the treatment plant up to tertiary treatment. So I know you'll start to read about all that, and you'll get more detail in the near future as the JPA and everybody's moving forward on that.
Could I just ask a quick question for my own benefit? When the entry says joint meeting, that's a not of a staff. That's referred to the city council, the two governing bodies?
Yes, Cayuga okay, Sanitary
so.
And
so those
city council.
Are public meetings that the members of the public can.
He needed them up for the busy July 4th weekend. We were able to accomplish that, and we got through that weekend. Now, of course, we have the other two tanks, the old tanks behind it. Those are currently empty, so we're back down to, you know, two tanks. We're basically tying in the system to the two existing tanks, which meant we had to drain those tanks, and at the same time that we've got those drained, Dave and his crews and everybody are going in and doing some cleanup work and inspection and some repairs on those tanks. So while we got them down, since it's such a hassle to drain them, you know, and do that stuff, that we figured this is the time to do it. So there isn't a whole lot of activity going on up there. We're kind of in a kind of on a holding pattern for about 2 weeks here, and then the last part of July, first part of August, the contractor will come back in and finish up the fencing, the paving, you know, some of the, you know, cosmetic work to finish up that contract. So we should be done probably by mid-August on the Blanca Street water tanks. Other than that, there seems to be going pretty well.
So when that's all done, there'll be four tanks. Is it four tanks total? Or
yeah, we had four tanks up there. Two of them were really, really old, and of course those two were also damaged slightly by the San Simeon earthquake. And so we got some FEMA OES money, contributed that into water fund money, and opted to replace the tanks. Let's see, the other one. I put a caveat on there under the category of report on city council items, basically the last page. And staff completed the public meetings. I held meetings for the public regarding the creeks in Morro Bay. This is one of those issues that kind of came up during the budget process. You know, the city stepped back and kind of looked at all of the, basically the operations that we do and how we fund them and, you know, what revenues do we generate, how much does it cost. You know, basically we took the time to evaluate how we do business. And creek cleaning came up as one of those flagged items that, oh, yikes. We've been in the past funding creek maintenance out of Mr. Dave Phillips' street road maintenance budget. And so there really hasn't been any identified funding for it. So it was one of those things where we kind of had to pull it out of the mix and say, well, gee, you know, the road budget was sliced, or the city would have the option of saying, you know what, we can't afford to do this. We're not mandated to clean creeks in people's, you know, private property backyards. So, you know, the city could opt to get out of the business, thereby turning it over to the property owners. So I basically had a couple meetings with the property owners, tried to explain to them how it kind of works, what county of San Luis, what other jurisdictions, other cities in the county have done, because pretty much everybody has washed their hands and pretty much said, hey, due to the liability, there's no identified funding, they've basically just turned it back over to the property owners. I'm not sure the city of Morro Bay is ready to do that, so our city council directed me to go out and get a little feel on the impulse of where everybody's coming from. I did that on June 7th and 8th. I followed that up a couple of weeks ago with a informational flyer and a survey. And the survey basically explained a couple of three options and asked them to sort of rate which option they liked best, so that I could bring that back to our city council for a discussion probably in August. So I was bringing that just to your attention, because you guys might get a few phone calls now and then about, hey, what's this bit about, you know, creek cleaning, and aren't the creeks owned by the city, and, you know, good questions like that. So,
well, I know that's come up through our board before, that there's some problems with the creeks that feed in from the county, but there's no county maintenance, and we've had to kind of take on that in good times. And now, like you said, it's not so good times. The money's tight, and...
Well, that is true in the aspect that all of the creeks, you know, basically bleed from the county.
We're by the edge.
You know, where the county has turned it over to the property owners. Now, the county still has what I would call an administrative program. So the county flood control district goes out and looks over these creeks every once in a while. So if they see a fallen tree, or they see somebody dumped a bunch of trash down in there, administratively, they will send a notice to the property owner alerting them that they need to, you know, deal with that. So that's about all they do right now administratively, is put the property owner on notice that they need to do something. And so if the property owners aren't, and it rains and a lot of that trash or debris or overgrowth or whatever gets dumped into those creeks, sometimes do, you know, find their way down to the creeks.
Can you give us an idea of how many homeowners are involved, and how many are really property owners, what you're talking about, and how many are rental versus residential, people who are living here, families or individuals?
Well, I don't have a breakdown for the rental versus owners, but we sent out, I believe it was 64 notices to the various property owners. There are 64 property owners that live along the creeks. And that's not counting the city of Morro Bay. The city of Morro Bay is pretty much going to be responsible, because there's really nobody to charge. Let me go to Choro Creek. You know, the city of Morro Bay has infrastructure out there, South Bay Boulevard, State Park Road, Choro Creek Bridge, and there's really, I mean, we can only do limited creek maintenance out there anyway around the bridge, and there's nobody to charge. So the city of Morro Bay is going to be continuing to do that with probably no funding identified. Alva Paul Creek next to Del Mar Park is next to Del Mar Park. So, you know, the city of Morro Bay is also going to be, you know, fair sharing into paying for, you know, its fair share of the creek maintenance along there, and so on and so forth. So, I think I answered your questions. I had to think twice on that.
Definitely. I'd like to discuss further, maybe we'll bring it up for future agenda. Let me ask now, is the work, if it's supervised, something that can be done in a weekend for a particular section if you have the person power? And I'm thinking of what the chair lady said about volunteers.
Well, let me say, you have to be very careful. You know, it sounds really good to think about getting a whole bunch of volunteers.
But
you know, you
like
see that on the beach a lot. Oh, let's go get some volunteers. We walk along the beach, and we pick up trash and so on and so forth. creeks are kind of a different monster, you know, or creature, I'll say. And that is Fish and Game and Army Corps. You have a lot of regulatory agencies that have precedence over it. To enter those creeks and do any kind of routine maintenance is not getting a bunch of volunteers to walk around, and there's endangered species, sensitive habitat. You have to be trained in that. Mr. Phillips is trained in that. You have to have sensitivity training, and there's certain...
We'll discuss that further.
Yeah, I think unfortunately our hands are pretty tight on that. Dave has to be certified by Fish and Game, has to have all that certification. Like I said, there's a very strict code of what he can and cannot do. You know, we can't get any equipment in the creeks anymore. It's all pretty much handwork, which is why we utilize CMC and the CDF crews, because it is labor intense. You basically go in there and machete. They do allow certain, you know, chainsaws, mineral oil or vegetable oil, you know, chainsaws. And then basically you're cutting down these bushes. It's mainly to go in there and pick up trash and debris and certain overgrowth. And then you have to haul that stuff out by hand.
Okay. What I'm confused, see, is if you use CMC crews, the individuals are going to be supervised and do what they're told, and I think that is why I thought that it might be open to it. But
may I comment to that? Each individual has to be sensitivity trained for it. It indicates the green light says that it's on. I'm sorry. Each individual must be trained to recognize and deal with each species that's out there. If the CMC crew changes tomorrow, then every person different on that crew has to be trained, and that has to be done by a certified biologist that has to come in and do the training. It's fairly significant cost for each of those individuals. The more people, the more it costs you to train.
That's why but not entirely, because I said in conjunction with an educational institution where they're doing that as part of training students. So it would be integrated into the curriculum, but not prolong the discussion any longer on that.
With that said, that's all I had on the director's report, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you may muster up.
Oh, okay. Frank, how many creeks do we have running through the city like that?
Six.
Could you give me a quick where they are? You mentioned the one up at Del Mar, and of course the big one on South Bay.
Let's see. Let's start at the south. There's Churro Creek. There's No Name Creek. There's Willow Camp Creek. There's Alva Paul Creek. And what's the one up by Vashon? That's No Name Creek. Five creeks.
Also Laurel Creek.
Oh yeah.
That's one of our catch 22s. We have lots of governing bodies above us that tell us what we can and can't do, and then.
You have layers. Believe me.
It's the rubber ducky navigable.
Yeah.
Well, I think maybe my comments about having citizens clean up might have been a little.
But for the most part, as long as you're not really getting in there and altering the stream, and you're getting in, you're not really getting into the active stream, and this is why Fish and Game limits Mr. Phillips here generally from August 15th to October 15th, you know, where the creeks aren't flowing. He gives them now those 2 months by which to go in there and do this creek maintenance. So you're not really doing anything other than cutting down these shrubs, picking up those beach chairs that kids or transients or somebody threw down there, picking up trash, and just doing your best to clean up the creeks and making sure that they're maintained.
Madam Chair, if I could speak to that issue for just a moment.
Please, Nancy.
Nancy Castle, I live less than a football field away from Morrill Creek that flooded in 1995. If this does come up as an agenda item and you guys wish to speak about it, particularly if word does come down that the council is going to save money by not taking care of those creeks, I would encourage you to make it an agenda item so that everything can be heard about it, because I know that I spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to recover from that flood, and that the city as a whole spent hundreds and millions of dollars to recover from that flood, and that to save a penny now by not doing the right thing is going to bite us later. And I was going to bring up the issues of all of the layers of bureaucracy that are involved in creeks. And it's a tender subject, but care of creeks is vital, especially for Morrill Creek, where it's been altered so radically over the decades. The farmers have pushed the soil in, so the channel is very narrow. It's a very abused creek in the way it's formed itself, and then it gets very narrow, very tight, just at the city limits because of the building and the development that's gone on. And I hope in my lifetime I don't flood again, but I hope in nobody's lifetime it floods. And so whatever we can do to support Dave to have the crews he needs to take care of it, I feel is real important. And I share that with you, hoping you'll...
I'm actually getting, you know, it's a pretty good pace since I think they only got him early last week. But at the last city council meeting, Councilwoman Melody DeMeritt, I believe, agendized it. And if I'm not mistaken, I think it's scheduled for the August 22nd. So they're going to discuss it again. Hopefully I'll have the majority of these surveys in so we can discuss it. So if the city council wishes at that time to punt it back down to PWAB, then you'll certainly get your fair share look at this.
Well, it might be something for our September agenda and possibly even... I don't know if the public really realizes or has noticed our agendas. Our last meeting was canceled due to a low number of items, and we've been fairly slow the last few months, and mainly that's a lot because of the city council hasn't sent things to us because of the budget, I think, and a lot of reevaluating where we are and what we're doing, and a lot of things have slowed down, and that does kind of open up some time for this board to be a little more proactive and bring some things to the city council's attention that we perhaps could do on a community base wise, maybe pick up some of the slack, you know, and utilize our volunteers and maybe organize some things the proper way, you know, connecting with staff and all the criteria that needs to go into things and the requirements and things like that, so that we can utilize some volunteers that are out there if they just know what to do. I just think that's an important thing for the board to do when times are a little bit slow and we don't have any specific issues sent down from city council to look at. So my comments down there. Does anybody else have anything else for Frank as we close out the staff report? No? Frank, any closing words?
Well, I do, now that the light kind of went on. One last little thing that I have. One of my intentions is taking it back to City Council August 22nd is I am going to try to somewhat fast-track this, the creek. And there's two parts of this. One, the negotiations back and forth with the property owners on how are we going to fund this. And that may take a while. But at the same time, we're in mid-August. And Dave's window of opportunity is there. So I'm going to have to discuss with City Council on, you know, give me direction if there's any, you know, any money available, anything there, any unanticipated funding that's come in since the budget process. You know, that's what I'm going to have to put on the table with them to try to say, you know, we presented our street road budget. There's
August 15th through September 15th that they give you?
August 15th to October 15th.
To October 15th.
And sometimes that'll vary. If it rains early, you know, it might wind up being August 1st.
Could you clarify, when you're talking with the homeowners, you're discussing obviously creek areas that run through their area, but also the idea that they might even be contributing towards the I'll call the public creek areas. We need to open in just the creek on their area.
Just maintaining their backyard, the creeks in their backyard.
Now, do they have to meet all the requirements if they want to do it themselves? Do they have to?
As far as I know, yes. Fish and Game doesn't really distinguish between.
Yeah. Which is sensible, otherwise it would blow the whole scheme.
It would be
And then finally, are we talking about more or less than $100,000? I'm not trying to pin you to a figure. I'm just.
I would say less.
Okay, and that gives, I think, also the public a sense of trying to weigh some of the issues that I think were brought up in terms of, ounce of prevention kind of thing.
We can always promote public education for what people throw in and near the creeks. If you throw it near the creeks, it's going to end up in the creeks, and it's going to end up in the ocean or floating around somewhere it's not supposed to be. I'm sure Dave will cover some of that in his report. Anything else on staff report? Gentlemen? Nothing? All right, we're going to move on to the next item, which is old business, and we have none. And the following item after that is new business, and this is the National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System, acronym is NPDES. There's a presentation and discussion by City Maintenance Supervisor, Mr. Dave Phillips, who is with us this evening. So I'm going to turn it over to Dave and let him give us his presentation. Dave?
Madam Chairman, ladies and gentlemen of the board, I appreciate you having me here tonight and giving me an opportunity to discuss our stormwater management plan with you. I'll give you a brief history of it for those of you who are not familiar, and then try to give you a status report as to where we are at this time. Basically, in 1990, the EPA enacted Phase 1 of the National Pollution Elimination System, which required states to start restricting the pollutants entering the rivers and oceans of the country. The first Phase 1 applied to municipalities, populations over 100. We are required under Phase 2 to submit a stormwater elimination plan. That was required to be done prior to January of 2004. We did submit a draft plan approved by the City Council in October of 2003. That is now awaiting review from the Regional Water Quality Control Board staff. And speaking to them this week, as of Monday, they have a new staff person on board who's been assigned the task of reviewing not only our plan but others in the region. They anticipate having their staff comments to us in the next 3 or 4 months. Basically, a plan is considered adequate if it has the elements of public education and outreach, public participation and involvement, illicit discharge detection and elimination, construction site runoff control, post-construction stormwater management, pollution prevention, good housekeeping from municipal operations. City staff is sure that we have a plan that meets those criteria, and we're confident that we will receive a positive response from a Regional Quality Control Board. In addition to waiting for that, we, out of concern for our environment, the city has decided to begin some of these steps now. We have designated a stormwater coordinator, which was one of the requirements, and that turned out to be me. We have developed a partnership with other agencies in the county. We have what we call Partners for Water, Slow County Partners for Water Quality, which is made up of county personnel, various city personnel, Caltrans, some local agencies such as the NAP have representatives there, and we meet together to discuss the issues. We have combined cooperatively and paid for some advertising that you've seen on TV and in radio spots with Sammy the Steelhead trying to educate children on what not to put in the gutters and in the storm drains, and acquired some handouts and other literature through that group. We have continued our street sweeping at the level that it was prior to this the current budget cuts, even though it was difficult to find that much money, and that was primarily due to the benefit it provides to stormwater cleanup. We are requiring a pre-winter cleaning of the storm drains. The National Estuary Program has worked very closely with us and have actually helped. They've stenciled the existing storm drains to kind of let people know that they do empty into the bay and that, you know, please be careful putting things there. And they are also helping us by monitoring flows around town. If they see something that their staff sees something that concerns them, they're quick to give me a call, and we respond and try to go out there and take care of any problems that we see. That's basically where we are now. And where do we go from here? Well, we will continue with the things that we've listed above. We will wait until we receive the written comments from the board. The city will review and respond to the board's staff comments. The city staff will undertake negotiations around any changes or modifications that, that regional board staff would like to see if we feel it is necessary. After that, the draft plan will be posted for public comment and review. After the public comment period, city and regional board staffs will review and respond to the public comment. Final plan will be adopted by the city council and regional board. Staff will request funds to begin full implementation of the plan, and we expect the plan to be implemented. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Do you have any questions for Dave?
Excuse me.
I think we're going to have questions along the way. I just kind of wanted to ask, do we have any blue and white thermoplasts that we can repaint those little curb paintings that say that the drains run directly to the ocean? And if we got some volunteers to go out and do it, would that help at all?
The NEPS volunteers would be very good for that program. It helps in two ways. It does educate those folks that are out there as to what the concerns are, gives them a buy-in to that, especially if you can get young people involved. It gives them a little buy-in into that storm drain, and they tell their friends about it. Look, I painted this, and there's a reason for it. So it does a lot of good if we can get community involvement in doing those. And, yes, we can provide stencils and paint and set up a time to do that.
Excellent. So hope the public is hearing that. These are the storm drains in the streets, the curbs and gutters where you see the open holes that go through. Anything that flushes in those that runs down the streets. I live on Pacific Street, and anybody who lives on Pacific Street knows what kind of water runs down there when we have rain. The cleaner gets there before the rain does. I tend to like to pick mine up a little bit more, save the guys a little bit of work. But it's really important for everybody to realize that everything that flushes off there doesn't go through our sewer treatment system. None of it does. It just gets flushed right directly into the bay. So you can dump it in there and go out and watch it down at the dock. And that's not something we really want to do. So take care of it.
And I'm going to jump on my stormwater bandwagon. I think a lot of people have a lot of concerns with the wastewater plant and wastewater treatment in Morro Bay, and I do too. I'm a wastewater engineer and a stormwater engineer. However, people don't realize that if they don't pick up their dog poop, any rain that falls in their backyard is going right out to the gutter and going into the ocean, and we're surfing in it. And it's probably more of a threat than the wastewater plant. So I think people need to be conscious of what's going in the ocean because we're swimming in it, and that also applies to, you know, oil and anything else that might be, you know, left and out front, because if rain falls on it, it's going to make it to the gutter and it's going to make it to the ocean.
Definitely.
So I'm off my bandwagon. Thank you.
That's a good bandwagon to be on.
I'd like to follow with a similar, not concerns, but need of information of what type of support you've gotten and how the coordination works with other elements, the city government, and I'll go through them. On pages 7 and 8, there's a number of items that actually have had raised some controversy in the city that are part of the plan. The two most outstanding ones are the removal of the illegal moorings in the back bay, and I would like to comment on how that goes and how you coordinate with Harbor, and I know it's been controversial. The other is, in that links to what you were saying, the on page 8, the off-leash dog park is also in the plan, and the reason I bring it up is in the spirit of the education, that was quite a controversy. I don't remember it being mentioned in the controversy that took place when the city almost had a off-leash dog park and then didn't. There's still an informal one, but not one formally established. So on those, there's a number of, then there's the boat haul out, but on those two, which I think have been the most controversial.
Got some grants that might be available to do to get rid of those illegal moorings in the back bay. And The entire city staff is aware of this document. They have bought on to the concepts of it, and we will work as diligently as we can to conform to what we have set forth in this document.
And I'm thinking in terms of the role, frankly, we can play by highlighting this. As I said, I think in the dog park, I just don't think that they realized. I mean, it could be they were presented, but the connection wasn't made, because I think that could have been a critical element when that was discussed. Finally, I also notice in sort of how can you do this, having been responsible for something you don't control, you're to promote water conservation and reuse among all water users with a focus on Los Osos groundwater. How, that's on page 8. And I know that you're very busy and you do lots of things, and then to be responsible for Los Osos seems a little much. It's number flow-3. I was thinking maybe there's some connection between the aquifer.
Are you on a different page 8 than I am?
When you plagiarize, you should always look for your source. Just joking.
Right above local environmental setting.
I'm on a different page 8. All right.
If it were simply a misprint, that would be a relief.
Again, I think this is part of the regional effort to clean up our groundwater and to protect our coastal waters and our bay. And we certainly do need to encourage our neighbors and work with our neighbors to accomplish that. I don't think that we can directly go tell them that they have to do anything, but we can certainly voice our concerns as to what their groundwater quality is doing to our bay environment and try to work with them to help them solve some of their issues as well in a cooperative way.
And maybe I can intervene on, you know, the regional board's role in this is they're setting sort of the standards here. You know, everybody, they're requiring everybody to submit a plan. The city of Morro Bay, like everybody else, has submitted our plan. Certainly have the regional board, you know, backing us up, but they're looking for us to go in. So, like Dave says, if Los Osos is doing something or anybody else is doing something, even if it's out in the county, but it impacts the creeks in Morro Bay, we have the right, because everybody's under this same criteria that the regional board is setting, to basically enforce it. The whole idea is to start doing a better job, you know.
So it was not a misprint. It's to promote the awareness that the water doesn't recognize the boundaries.
It could be a misprint.
Oh, could be.
Yeah. The person that originally prepared this document was a intern that we had working for us, and she worked very closely with staff members at the regional board. And they had some input into what went into this document. So some of that may have come from some of their staff suggestions that she was trying to comply with, would be my guess.
Well, just for clarification, too, this document was approved by the city, adopted August 25th, 2003, and we're still waiting for the federal government to approve it.
Well,
in essence, I mean, they're basically juggling with quite a few plans like this to integrate them all together, to tweak them a little bit.
We approved it amongst ourselves at the end of 2003, and then the regional board, I think, gave us first part of 2004 to submit it. And even I think that deadline went from January 1st, 2004, and it slid back a few months because of some delays. And so we submitted it early 2004, and they told us then that it was going to be a year, maybe even two, before they really, you know, went through it with the nuts and bolts and got back to everybody with, you know, what do they really want. So
yeah, they had a deadline in January of 2005 that they failed to meet.
But basically these plans, I mean, for the public, I don't want them to think that this is a formal approved document of law. This is what something we're working towards, and we're trying to implement some of the things we can now while we're waiting for the people above us to tell us whether it's okay or not.
Well, we are mandated with timelines to achieve these goals by 2008. if we get a late start, that just means our efforts are going to be, level of effort will have to be increased to meet these goals within a shorter period of time. So to get a leg up on it is an advantage to the city.
It's very prudent for us to get going on as many of them as possible.
I don't feel we should just wait until we get the approved plan, because then we'll be a year behind or more.
The man speaks from experience.
Work on it.
Well, I'll say at this point, Tom, I'm not sure we've really, well, you know, grants are always a possibility. You know, EPA gets involved in this, regional board. But remember, all of a sudden, everybody, every jurisdiction, counties,
at the same
cities,
time.
Everybody's having to do it. And I know all the cities have kind of gone to the regional board and said, hey, this is another one of those unfunded mandates. What's going on here? You know, so it's yet to be determined, and I think the city council is going to have to kind of deal with this financially. Maybe what we submitted is not going to be, you know, earth-shattering. I mean, you're talking about doing a better job, sweeping the roads, you know, getting out there and doing a better job to make sure that development is submitting stormwater pollution prevention plans, putting out those wattles, bales of hay, you know, better job of preventing stormwater runoff with sediment and this and that on construction projects. The public outreach is going to get out there and try to inform the public that, hey, you know, when you take your car out dirt tracking and you bring it back all muddy, you know, if you take it onto your concrete driveway and you hose it off, and it's going to run down into the storm drain, and storm drains lead into the bay, and, you know, there's a connection to all this, that hopefully all of these things, little or small as they may be, are going to help. You know, the muffin mitts, you know, for the dog parks. You know, I don't know if you were trying to make an assumption that, you know, the dog park was not going to pick up the dog droppings, but, you know, everybody's going to just try to do a little bit better job so that, you know, less pollution and sediments and whatnot are going into the waters of the state.
No, I think the dog park's a good thing. And when people congregate their dogs, there's going to be this peer pressure. They'll get picked up, as opposed to walking along and, well, if it's in the bushes, we'll just leave it, kind of thing.
Many public agencies have chosen to try to pass a stormwater benefit assessment district. And some of your larger cities are facing millions and millions of dollars of cost. Basically, the whole L.A. River Basin is being reconstructed to try to comply with this plan. So there are agencies, cities that have realized that they did not have adequate funding through their general funds and have passed or tried to pass benefit assessment districts with varied degrees.
Those oil, those kind of things.
That's correct, and it is free. It's a free service, so it's a great service. There's some other things you can do that I failed to mention. We partnered up with a program called Our Water, Our World. It was an EPA grant-funded program for the coastal communities from Santa Barbara County north to Mendocino County, and what they do is they go into hardware stores and garden landscaping shops, and they educate the employees as to which of their products on their shelves are the most environmentally friendly, not necessarily 100% environmentally friendly. They also put on little workshops to educate the public, and they put racks in the stores with this sort of information here in it that talks about how you can treat pests in your garden without the use of pesticides, or which pesticides might be better for your use in your particular area. Those racks and the materials were provided by the grant. All I have to do is go into the store occasionally and refill. Miners Hardware was our local hardware store that just jumped right into this, and they've been very, very cooperative and very helpful. And they like the program, and they encourage us to make sure things are filled up, and they love to answer people's questions about the products and sell the products. So we really appreciate their help in that too. So when you're in Miners, you can see this little rack on the end of the aisle where all of your pesticides and insecticides and things are, and you can pick up some of this stuff if you're interested and try to find a better way to take care of the pests in your yard, which is a big benefit. Is that usually, typically, we overuse those products, and all of the excess ends up in our storm drains and our rivers and oceans as well.
I think if we all thought back about 10 years ago, remember when we used to wash our car in our driveway? And granted, you know, from the 70s, we started to get more sensitive. Ooh, we got into biodegradable soaps and, you know, oh, that's okay. So it's okay now. You can wash your car in your driveway. Well, now we've taken that next step where it's not just that soap that you're running, you know, rinsing off of your car. It's all that grease and sediment and paint or, what you know, whatever got on your car that you're washing off is now running down your driveway into the, you know, the curb and gutter, into the DIs and into our creeks and, you know, state, you know, waters of the state. So it's gonna
having a better environment to live in, but from a financial standpoint, to get on the bandwagon now and do the things we need to do to clean up our
and actually,
stormwater.
You know, Dave just brought up a good point. You know, in no way, shape, or form do Dave or I want to give the illusion that Morro Bay has not been doing anything. Keep in mind, you know, this regional water quality, you know, regulation and this and that is being implemented. But I always look at it as I think it's for a lot of those, and it's not to point blame at L.A. or, you know, whatever city, but there are cities that really just, I mean, you could get out there with city crews are out there hosing down streets to clean them off without really thinking. So there's been, you know, there's just practices that are a different mindset, especially in the Central Coast here and especially in cities like Morro Bay. You know, I'll go through the life of a drainage inlet. You know, typically that drainage inlet sits there during the summer. Everybody thinks unused, but in reality, you know, people are walking by the little candy wrapper. You know, the cigarette butt gets tossed into the street. You know, sometimes the wind blow it, but some, you know, a lot of times, and all it takes is that either the wind or a little, you know, rain or, you know, runoffs. You know, and all that cigarette butts, trash, sediment, oil, greases wind up in the DI and they sit there because there really isn't a whole lot of flow. So typically, in, you know, prior to this and currently until this plan is implemented, Dave goes out there in the fall time before those first rains, pops out all those, you know, grates, looks down there and sees, oh, you know, all that trash and cigarette butts and this and that. And I believe in many cases he gets out there with our vac truck, sucks all that stuff up, cleans it all up before it gets into the, you know, into the bay. These inline filters are just, I'm going to say, a little bit better. You know, that thing I just floated around, it's kind of like a little trash can that sits in there. It's got, you know, filter fabric. Some of them have little cotton rolls that run around the edges of it to collect and absorb those oil and greases from the cars. So they're designed, you know, if you're in a parking lot where you're going to get oil and grease runoff, then, you know, you have a certain type of inline filter you can design. If you're typically going to be picking up leaves and acorns from eucalyptus trees, you know, then you might want to use this type. So it's just sort of the next generation of doing a little bit better, and it's not to reflect that the city is next.
And education. Does anybody have any other questions for Frank or for Dave? Bill, do you? No questions? Bob? No? Dr. Dorfman? John? Okay. I think this board can probably accomplish quite a bit by maybe even trying to help coordinate between staff and the public some volunteer efforts that might want to be involved in some of these things. The creeks might be a little tricky trying to get training. Dr. Dorfman's idea of integrating Cal Poly, where you might have the professional staff to be able to do that with interns and other students, could be looked at. But maybe even just getting these curbs repainted with the signs that say this, you know, warning people that it flows directly to the bay. It might be some nice things. I know we've got some great volunteers out there and we don't have anybody to coordinate them, and maybe this board can take some slack time and try to do that as a contribution to our city.
Spread the word.
It would be nice. Anything you think is washing away and out of your life is ending up in the bay. So we're going to swim in it or be rained on by its waste at some point. And that's why the issues of Los Osos. I mean, if you live in Morro Bay and you think what goes on in Los Osos doesn't concern us, I think you're forgetting the Pacific Ocean. So that's my 2 cents, or maybe 4 or 5, but I'm the chair, so I get to do that. My liberties. Okay, if we're going to close that part up, we're on to future agenda items. Does anybody have any suggestions for future agenda items?
I actually have a couple suggestions. One of them would be looking at some way. I live on the north end of town. My business is downtown. I think a lot of people that work downtown that actually live in Morro Bay live in the north end of town. So, you know, we talk a lot about money coming into downtown, but a lot of the work or people that work there actually live in the north end of town. And I think sometimes that gets kind of forgot. So I both of my items relate to the north end of town. And one of those items is undergrounding utilities in the north end of town. Even though it doesn't have a benefit, I guess, to the public, it does have a benefit to the people that live in the north end of town and to our property values, because there are a lot of ugly utilities in the Dawson area. I live on First Street. I mean, we're looking at whatever views, you know, we have are pretty much looking at wire in the ocean. And, you know, some aren't as bad and some are. And I think it'd be a good thing to take a look at and see what areas could be improved. And I think there is money available from the different utilities to do that work. And I just don't want it all to go. My friends, you know, getting our kids and going across the stoplights, it gets pretty dangerous. I've seen cars get nailed that are waiting at the red light, waiting to go out on Highway 1, getting hit by cars that are going by. And I'm always concerned, you know, you kind of go down that little slope to the crosswalk that goes past at San Jacinto. And it's not the easiest place for a little kid on a bike or a skateboard or whatever, or even an uncoordinated dad on rollerblades. It'd be a lot easier to have an underpass or an overpass. And I don't think it would be that difficult. I mean, it would be tough, but it wouldn't be that bad. And those are the two things that I would like to see on a future agenda.
Okay. Anybody else? Dr. Dorfman? No? Bob? No? Bill? No?
John, were you thinking pedestrian overcrossing?
Yes.
Or just
pedestrian. Pedestrian over, under. And over might be tough because the ADA under might be easier. But, you know, I don't know.
I think the last time we looked at something like that, under was like $3 million or something like that.
Well, under would be tough. You'd have to bore. Over, would be tough because you'd have to have a spiral or something to meet ADA.
It's got to be handicap accessible.
That's what I mean, ADA, handicap accessible. I'm sure it would have to be, but you could do a spiral. I mean, there are a bunch of them in a lot of different areas that are handicapped accessible. I mean, just because it has to be handicap accessible doesn't mean it can't be done.
Right.
It just has to be done right, and I don't know. I think it's worth the time and the money for me personally, and I think for a lot of people on the north end of town.
Was that a volunteer to pay for it? Is that what I heard?
Yeah, I think so.
It's worth it to me.
It's worth it for me for the city to pay for it.
One of the things I know,
which I guess would be me paying for it in a roundabout way, but
I think Mr. Boucher would probably be the one that would be the first to comment about the underground utility issues. The city, the city cannot set an underground utility district. It takes a lot of work through the utility companies to get that, and they do have money, but they won't give it to us. We've had to fight to get the ones that we've gotten, but it's not just, as far as I know, it's not an internal municipal decision to create that kind of a district.
Not exactly true. It's pretty much
this is why he's here.
It's a committee. It's a committee effort. In essence, it's the public utilities money, Rule 20A monies, but they have guidelines of where the money's to be used, and they want priorities to go after, you know, scenic highways, scenic, you know, roads, and so on and so forth.
I know we've had several subcommittees,
which is on the north end of town, by the way.
Well, also not quite correct. 7 is along Main Street. And over by Beach and down Beach Street. And I think 6 was up and down Morro Bay Boulevard, but that's where, Vicki, you're correct, PG&E and everybody kind of dragged their heels on doing that one because it was complicated.
Right, it had to do with what utility was on what pole.
Exactly,
and
PG&E was actually not on a lot of those poles, and a lot of the other jurisdictions do and do not fall under Rule 20A and don't have monies. It's almost like if PG&E is going to go underground and cable and telephone or whoever else is also on that pole, oops, they pretty much got to go underground because they're on the pole. So there was some definite resistance. So Bill has decided to change courses and have them go after this, you know, this District 7, which is along Main Street, there by Beach, and I think down towards Highway 1, and then I think along, you know, Beach Street. But John,
but even if we could streamline the process for streets or communities or neighborhoods to get together and facilitate that.
Yeah, what you're implementing is as we're working on this district, you also have the ability now to start talking about what's next on the list. So
okay.
The argument would be is we've done some around downtown here. Maybe it is time to, you know, try to implement one up on the north side.
Right.
You know.
Is there any support here on the board for discussion about some volunteer programs? I mean, it would really just be discussion, but we would be a good source in the city to coordinate the requirements that staff has, you know, such as the training by people to clean up the creeks. They're going to have that information. It might be possible that we would be a very good vehicle for connecting those issues with community members that might want to do that.
Well, I volunteer with the National Estuary Program, have done so for a number of years, and they do have the equipment and laboratory facilities to really help us out. And I can investigate that in an informal manner if people would like me to do so.
Mm-hmm. Would the board be all right with the discussion item on that on the next agenda? Just as far as community volunteering for some of these issues that are having
been for right now. Not just the creek, but
not
the
just
others.
The creeks, but I mean the
yes,
you know, the
I think that would be good.
Things like that.
On the creek, I understood at first. I was thinking, well,
here's to help if they're trained right and coordinated right. And I thought maybe this board could discuss a little bit of that. Mm-hmm. The public that's watching might get some ideas and be able to come to staff or council and volunteer their time if the board's willing to agendize it. That's not my decision. That's our decision.
As far as those timelines are concerned, it might be important for you and the public to understand that under the old permits, we used to have from April 15th to October 15th. The new permits that we believe, one of the conditions of the new permit that we're confident will come down is the August 15th, and that's due to some nesting seasons of some of the endangered species.
Sure.
So we believe that's going to be the new timeline. And it also, I did mention, I believe, in my report, and I think maybe it got missed, the NEP has gone out and re-stenciled many of the storm drains in the last year for us, and that was a volunteer effort that they got together, and they provided the materials, did not even ask the city for materials, and we do really appreciate that. They've been a big help.
Excellent. Okay, is there anything else, gentlemen, for future agenda items? Going once, going twice, no third time. Okay, let's...
Madam Chair, are we going to have our agenda meeting next Tuesday at 1:30 like we usually do? Or?
Is that okay with you, Bill?
Fine with
you. All right. That's the executive cabinet meeting where we set our agenda items. And
last time you seemed to want to shift a little bit later. You had a class or something? Or
oh,
are you
I'm
out
on
of that?
Summer vacation now. Isn't it wonderful?
So
you
eight,
don't have to worry
eight,
about
eight
me until mid-September. Whatever time you want, I'm fine on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Why don't
I'm
we make it 1:30 on Tuesday?
Okay. Yeah, that's PM.
You can show up at AM if you'd like.
He's a party animal, but I don't think he wants to come down to work at 1:30.
Dave will be there.
Okay, we'll get you guys. Okay, can I have a motion for adjournment?
You have it.
I have it from Mr. Olson. Is there a second? Was that Dr. Dorfman? Yes, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Bite your tongue. All right, thank you. We are adjourned.
Thank you very much.
At